But I do, that is the tune I remember. It's good to see David with us tonight. Called him up just before service. You are on your way, right? Well, David's been on the road today. He's been up at Clebit Springs where he preached with the folks that he was with for many years. And we've got him as an itinerant preacher today, coming down here now as well. And Brother David will be with us for one more Sunday after this, then back to China. I appreciated the message last week. And Brother David, if you'll come and preach to us again. Glad to hear you, brother.
Thank you. Yes, we have been in a rush, it seems like all day. But that is okay. The Lord is in control of the weather and the accidents. You've been on the interstate. You come up towards all the brake lights, and you think, oh, I know what's coming next. And sure enough, big line of cars. But the Lord gave us, brought us here safely, and we thank Him for that. Always good reason to testify to God's goodness and grace every time we travel and arrive safely at our destination. If you'll take your Bible this evening, I would like to look back at Ephesians chapter 4, just as a beginning point. Last week, just looked at quite a few scriptures to get in something, a beginning in our mind of God's gift of the shepherd or pastor to the local church. And so let me begin reading in Ephesians chapter 4. I'll begin in verse 1. Ephesians chapter 4. I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you are called to one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. And so this gift of Christ will be spoken of. Each believer has a measure of Christ's gift. But it says in verse 8, therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is one who also ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And then the thinking that we're on comes from a portion of verse 11. And he, speaking of Jesus, gave, and it describes those that he gave, apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors or the shepherds, and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, and the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And in verse 14, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Again, verse 11, and he, speaking of Jesus, gave, and then at the end of the verse, one of these that he has given is shepherds or pastors. Let us pray. Father, as we consider your good gifts to your church, we thank you for Jesus most of all, for he is the head, he is the Savior and Lord, it is his church, but we thank you also for the shepherds, the under-shepherds. We thank you for the pastors among the local churches. Lord, tonight, may we continue, or this afternoon, Lord, may we continue to look to your word and see your wisdom in the local shepherd, giving the church the local shepherd. And Lord, I pray as church members that we would embrace this truth and that we would respond accordingly. Father, I thank you for your everlasting love through Jesus, and so it is through Jesus that we pray. Amen. God's gift of the shepherd pastor to the local church. You probably remember the reasons that I have that I gave last week that I had shepherd on my mind, and again, our brothers and sisters in the Lord in China. I hope that this will somewhat be stuck in your mind as a point of prayer that the Lord of the harvest, we pray to the Lord of the harvest that he raise up laborers, the harvest. It's hard for me to imagine 20 plus churches with two pastors, but that is a reality. And so we pray to the Lord of the harvest to raise up laborers for the harvest, for the field is white and ready for the harvest. Also, I said the situation here at the church, in the sense that I can see that we all need, all believers need shepherding. We all need for God's grace to be ministered through a man in the leadership position of the local church. And so we're gonna spend a little bit more time on that. But as we always, when we begin this idea of shepherds, we must begin with Jesus. Because if I run ahead to the local pastor and put so much emphasis on the local pastor, then we certainly would miss out on the greatest shepherd, the good shepherd himself, Jesus, the great shepherd of our soul. And so we know that Jesus indeed did this work of shepherding when he walked this earth. We know that he cared for, he tended, he fed, he protected his flock, and he would even shepherd the multitudes. I mean, it was amazing that Jesus had that special time I pointed out in Mark chapter 6 where he had sent out the apostles. They had come back. Things were so busy, they couldn't even get anything to eat. And so Jesus says, well, come away by yourself and rest a while. On the way to the resting place, the multitudes see who is there, and they run ahead, and they get there. What did Jesus do? He did not shoo them away and say, go away, we're trying to get some rest. The scripture says he looked at them with compassion. He was moved within. He saw that they were like sheep without a shepherd. And what did he do? It said he taught them. Now, he's going to feed them, and he's going to miraculously feed this multitude. Supernatural work of feeding the 5,000. But what did he do before he fed them this physical food? He taught them. He taught them. So you see the shepherding of Jesus, the feeding of Jesus, feeding of the multitudes, the feeding of the flock. That is by way of teaching as well as physical feeding. We know that Jesus is the good shepherd all the way to the end. Simply a review of some things we looked at. And so today, as we think about the gift of shepherds to the local church, Jesus gave pastors shepherds. He gave. So this is God's idea. It's his wisdom and it's his ways, and he gave these for the equipping, certainly of the saints, the building up of the body of Christ. Jesus gave these things. But let me stop again, and before I go too far with God's wisdom in providing the local shepherd, I want to make this point very clear, because the scripture makes it very clear. Jesus must be your shepherd first and foremost. Why would I begin there? Because as we think about the Lord's reasoning for giving the local shepherd to the church, we need to consider something that the local pastor, the local shepherd, cannot do for you. And what is that? Jesus must be your shepherd first and foremost, because no pastor can save you. No pastor can save you. But Jesus is mighty to save. Only Jesus can provide forgiveness of sins. We think, well, I want to go and I want to confess my sin one to another. I want to confide in a pastor, a shepherd, and let him know my struggles, and so he can minister to me. That is by God's grace. He's put us together that we can minister one to another, and the pastor can minister to the flock. But only Jesus can provide forgiveness, everlasting, eternal forgiveness of your sin. And this is quite a serious issue. I say, well, we know this, Brother David. Okay, but I want to remind you of this, that we are very, very much sinners. And so we need to have this forgiveness. You can forgive me if I sin against you. And I can forgive you if you sin against me. But what about for all eternity? When we go before the Lord at His judgment, what is our hope? What do we do when we stand before the Lord? Can I say, well, everyone that I knew on this earth forgave me of the sins that I had committed against them? And say, my parents that I had sinned against, they forgave me. We had reconciled one to another. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, my own wife that I sinned against her, she has forgiven me. We're all reconciled on this earth. But there is something so important that we need to go further. We need reconciliation. We need right relationship with one another. But we need right relationship with God Almighty. So when we stand before the judgment, only Jesus. Jesus must be your shepherd first and foremost. Only Jesus can be your hope. Only His blood is perfect. And only His blood can cleanse our sins eternally. Only can our soul be washed white as snow through His sacrifice. And only by Jesus' righteousness, His perfect righteousness, can we be made acceptable to God, to be able to stand before God in the goodness, in the righteousness of Jesus. And so, the Christian is to follow Christ, and we are not to put too much emphasis on the local shepherd. I'm going to say plenty of things about the local pastor, local shepherd, but we cannot put the wrong emphasis or too much emphasis. I don't know maybe the best way to state that, but there are things that only Jesus can do for us. The Bible does not teach that we should worship the local shepherd. Rather, the local shepherd has been given to the church that we might worship Jesus. That's the purpose of the under-shepherd, under Jesus, the local pastor, is to facilitate, to point and lead the people in proper worship of Jesus Himself. And so in 1 Corinthians, you know, there were some problems arising as a result of putting too much emphasis on the ministers of Christ. If you will take your Bible and turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I'd like to read some of those verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Jesus must be your shepherd first and foremost. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 begins, "But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you are not ready for it. And even now you are not yet ready, for you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way?" Verse 4. "For when one says, 'I follow Paul,' and another, 'I follow Apollos,' are you not being merely human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. God gave the increase. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers, we are God's field, God's building. We look at this scripture and we can see so clearly that the misplaced emphasis, the wrong worship, this focus on who they're going to follow should be placed upon Christ alone. Jesus must be your shepherd first and foremost. You know, we need to see that ministers, and then I'll apply specifically to the local shepherd, are not to be idolized or worshiped. We have been around people that have been like this. It seems like they can talk about is their pastor, and praise the Lord for people that support their pastor. I'm going to get to that portion of our understanding of shepherds. But the truth is the pastor should build up the body to the mature manhood of Jesus Christ, and our focus of Jesus should be much more clear as a result of the work of the shepherd. So the local, no gospel minister and no local shepherd should be worshipped. There is not a popularity contest taking place among ministers of the local church. That's just not part of what should be happening in the local church. One of my friends, it's a preacher, he says that some churches will have a preaching contest. If they're without a pastor, they'll call in this preacher and they'll let him preach. And they'll call in this preacher, let him preach. He calls it the preaching contest. But the question is, what man is following the truth of the Word of God and trying to lead the people in it? First and foremost, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, is to be the one that we follow, the one that we look to for true spiritual growth and increase. And the ministers of Christ should be seen as Christ's fellow laborers. We're just working for the Master. And so as we find in Psalm 23, the beginning portion, let's begin and say, the Lord is my shepherd. Think about that, the reality in your own life. Who is leading you? I praise the Lord for bringing Pastor Mark here to Dominion Baptist Church and for him to be laboring faithfully for many, many, many years. But there are things that Pastor Mark cannot do for you. First and foremost, Jesus Christ must be your shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, the psalmist said. And so, that's the first point. Stop and think. Who are you following? Do you have a real relationship with Jesus Christ by believing? You have faith in what Jesus has done? Do you have these things? Do you have a true repentance in your life? Do you hate your sin? Is your mind towards sin that which is according to the truth? Are you turning away from that sin, pleading with the Lord for power to grant you this true repentance that's spoken of in the Scriptures? Jesus, first and foremost, must be your shepherd. But now, every Christian, and for the rest of the message this evening, every Christian needs a faithful pastor shepherd. And I want you to fully embrace this truth as well. It might seem like I was downing pastors previously, but that's not what I was doing. We have to lay the foundation, and the groundwork must be clear. But as we begin to follow Christ, and we become Christ ones, we become Christians, we need a faithful pastor shepherd. Every Christian needs to be fed and tended. Turn with me to John chapter 21, a familiar passage. John chapter 21, when Jesus and Peter were... Jesus was speaking to Peter. John chapter 21, beginning in verse 15. John 21:15, when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. Verse 16, he said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. Verse 17, he said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? He said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. As we think about the work of the gospel minister, and particularly the pastor, shepherd of the local congregation, you can see that these words would have application. Three times. First time at the end of verse 15, feed my lambs. Feed my lambs. Every Christian needs a faithful pastor, and they need a pastor that will feed them. Feed them. It says there at the end of verse 16, tend my sheep. And I know if you have the King James Version, it says feed my sheep. But the wording is actually tend or shepherd my sheep. We need a shepherd. We need this feeding. We need this tending to take place in our lives. And finally in verse 17, feed my sheep. Barnes notes on the Bible, he was commenting on Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, about the shepherds or the pastor, and he said, they are to exercise the same watchfulness and care over the people of their charge, which a shepherd does over his flock. If you're going to have any kind of flock, the shepherd must watch over them, take care of them. Barnes goes on, the meaning here is that Christ exercise special care to his church by appointing pastors. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, Jesus gave, and we see at the end of that verse, pastors, shepherds. So Jesus, as Barnes points out, exercised special care for his church by appointing pastors to watch over it as the shepherd over his flock. We need to be fed. Every Christian needs to be in a congregation that the truth is being proclaimed, that is being taught. The Bible is very clearly the source of our truth, and consistently the Bible is proclaimed from the pulpit. The Bible is applied to everyday life, and any struggles or any circumstances that come up, the truth of the Bible needs to inform the direction. And from the faithful pastor shepherd, there can be true feeding and true tending taking place. Well, also, every Christian needs someone to keep watch over them. You say, well, okay, feeding and tending, I get these parts of it. Every Christian needs someone to keep watch over them. Some places in the New Testament, it calls it a person, the leader in the church, the shepherd, pastor, an overseer. Quite literally, overseeing the congregation, keeping an eye on the believers, on the church. You know, this keeping watch over us, it's kind of countercultural, isn't it? We like our privacy. We like our privacy many, many times. And continually, if you've made it to the doctor lately, you're made aware of the new privacy policy. You have to sign off on this and agree. There's so much about privacy. The phrase that you hear from time to time is, mind your own business. We get this idea. Why would I want someone to mind their own business? Because I don't want anyone to know what's going on with me. I don't want to let anybody in on all the details of my life. Actually, we need a local shepherd to pay careful attention, or as King James would translate it, taking heed of us. We need this. I hope as we work through and look at some of these scriptures that you will see that even though your flesh might resist some of these teachings from the Bible, some of this truth that will last forever, you remember what we're dealing with when we look at the Bible. Grass withers and flowers fall, but the word of the Lord remains forever. These are no light words. These are everlasting words. And you think, well, I can maintain a healthy lifestyle, eat the right things, and I'm going to live longer. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So as we go to the word, remember, this is the truth. These are God's words to us. Acts chapter 20, if you'll take your Bible and turn to Acts chapter 20, I made reference to a paying of careful attention or a taking heed of us. We need this as someone to keep watch over us. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Paul is speaking to the Ephesian elders. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Pay careful attention to yourselves. So the elders need to pay attention to their own life, certainly. But it says, and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. As we look at this, the Christian needs to have someone, the local shepherd, the elders of the congregation, to keep watch over them. And why would I say that? Because the scripture says that the elders themselves are to pay careful attention. They're to take heed unto themselves, to yourselves, and to all the flock. All the flock. This close attention, this careful attention. You know, when I was pastoring, someone said, "Brother David, you're nosy." That's what they said. They said, "Brother David, you're nosy." And in some ways, I take this as a compliment. In some ways, I take it. If I was asking questions, showing concern for the good of that person's soul, if I was asking questions about some details of their life and their lifestyle for the benefit of ministering to them truly, that would be a compliment. You're nosy. There also could be, in another way, if a pastor is described as nosy, it could be bad. If they're just trying to find out information for the sake of knowing all the details of a person's life. I'm not saying that the pastor has to know everything about your life. But I'm saying, by God's grace and God's wisdom, he's put shepherds in the local congregation to pay very close attention, to take heed to their own lives, and also to all the flock. I think we should embrace this. Tricia and I have embraced this. And this, at least in this way. We just didn't run off to China and say, we're Lone Ranger Christians and we're going to try to do the work of missions without any accountability to the local church, to the local shepherd, because we need shepherding as well. And so that's why we would submit to the elders of Dominion Baptist Church, join up with this congregation before we go out, because we know that this is important. And the truth is, from this Acts chapter 20 and following, chapter 20, verse 28 through 30, you see that verse 29 makes it clear, after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. From among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. The sheep need to be protected from the wolves. And that's a reality. We need this protection. And Jesus gave shepherds. Jesus gave pastor to the local congregation. Every Christian needs a faithful pastor shepherd. Every Christian also needs an example. Every Christian needs an example. If you'll turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. In 1 Peter chapter 5, this is made clear for us. Every Christian needs an example by the way of a faithful pastor. 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and as a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Every Christian needs to have someone around them that is living the Christian life. Certainly, all Christians are to be an example, one to another. That's a reality. Let's not minimize that by any means. But here, there's special emphasis on the elder being an example to the flock. Being examples to the flock. It was the end of verse 3 there, you see. Every Christian needs this example. What example is should the shepherd set? Well, in verse 2, we find that shepherds should be willing to carry out their appointed calling from the Lord. Not kicking and screaming, not fighting against the Lord for the position that he has put them in. What an example. If the pastor shepherd doesn't resist the Lord, rather submits to the Lord, don't we all need this example? Greater submission to God Almighty. Which one of us would say, we have submitted ourselves fully to the Lord? Every area, there's nothing I've held back from the Lord. What we would be saying is that I am loving the Lord my God with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength. None of us can say that we have fulfilled that completely. But in the shepherd, we need this example to submit to the labor willingly. Not under compulsion. Nobody else in this world is making them get into this position of the shepherd, but rather they willingly do the work. The end of verse 2, another way that the shepherd is an example to the flock, is a life lived not for shameful gain, not for filthy lucre. We need this example, not to live a greedy life. If a shepherd is in place and they only go to the pulpit and they only have the position of pastor just to make money, then we would be in trouble. We need this example, rather, though, of living in a way that is not overly focused on this world. Not to have all of our hopes bound up in what is the here and now. We are all tempted to live and to love the things of this world. I would say we're all tempted to do this, to live for the things that are temporary. So the shepherd should live for the things eternal, to be an example to the flock. Every Christian needs this example. And then in verse 3, the shepherd should not domineer, should not act as though by their own force or power that they can make a person live a godly life. Look at this beautiful example that God is calling for from the shepherd. And can't you see that we need this example? What an encouragement. Only the Lord has the power to make a person live a godly life. Only the Lord can change the heart. So the shepherd can be an example to the flock by trusting the Lord in all of the ministry, praying to the Lord to bring about these changes. Of course, applying the truth, but not domineering. What an example. What an example. Every Christian needs to be fed, needs to be tended. Every Christian needs someone to keep watch over them. Every Christian needs an example. Every Christian needs a faithful pastor, shepherd. And finally, every Christian should love their shepherd, pastor. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. First Thessalonians chapter 5, as we look to verses 12 and 13, we find that it says, "We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you." 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12. "We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves." As Matthew Henry makes some comment, he says, "The ministers of the gospel are described by the work of their office, which is to serve and honor the Lord. It is their duty not only to give good counsel, but also to warn the flock of dangers, to reprove for whatever may be amiss." He says this, "People should honor and love their ministers because their business is the welfare of men's souls. The people should be at peace among themselves, doing all they can to guard against any differences. But love of peace must not make us wink at sin." He says some very helpful things here. Every Christian should love their pastor. Consider the work. Consider the work that is taking place. Ministering to the souls. The responsibility to keep watch on their souls. To shepherd the flock of God. To feed them. To be examples to them. And these are weighty things. These are weighty things. Every Christian should love their pastor shepherd. You see there from the scripture, it lays it out very clearly. The respect of those who labor among you, are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and esteem them very highly in love because of their work. I want to give you a word of encouragement. Before I encourage you to pray for Pastor Mark, and I do ask that you would do that continually. And in addition, from the scriptures, I will encourage you to respect those that labor among you and who are over you in the Lord. They admonish you. It's hard. Sometimes we have a hard time to respect those that might have to give us an admonishment at times. But the scripture says also to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Wow, what a work. What a labor. What a serious a position for the Lord to put a man. Let us pray for Pastor Mark and let us respect him and let us esteem him very highly in love. Also, the very end of that verse, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 13, it says, "Be at peace among yourselves." I will also say that part of our love toward our local shepherd, part of our love toward the Lord himself, Jesus, is, as the end of this verse says, to be at peace among yourselves. These are some simple principles from the scripture about shepherds. The reality is that we need them. Why do we need them? Isn't it enough to realize that when the scripture says Jesus gave shepherds, he had a good purpose for giving shepherds to the local church. But let's not get too far into the discussion of the local shepherd before we talk about the great shepherd. Jesus must be your shepherd. If you have not received the grace of God in Jesus Christ, forgiveness of your sins, if you've not believed upon him, trusted him as your only hope, that is, today is the day of salvation, the scripture says. Call upon him while he may be found. Flee the wrath to come. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way. I want to encourage you. Jesus must be your shepherd. Let us all be able, by God's grace, to say with the psalmist, "The Lord is my shepherd." You can read through Psalm 23 and see all the benefits of the Lord being your shepherd for sure. But every Christian also needs a faithful pastor shepherd. We need to be fed. We need to be tended. We need to have someone to watch over our lives, so spiritually speaking, certainly, and it overflows into all aspects of life. We need also to love. We need to love our pastor shepherd that the Lord has given us. And so as I encourage you from this scripture, I hope that the Lord will use this for his glory and for our good and for the building up of the congregation. Let us close with a word of prayer. Father, we have thought about many, many passages of scripture. May we simply receive this glorious truth that we need you, number one, and we need a local shepherd. Lord, thank you, Jesus, for giving the shepherd to the local congregation. Lord, I ask for your grace for Pastor Mark to shepherd the flock of God, to be an example and to labor in all the ways that the scripture says that he should. Lord, help him in that. And Lord, help us. Help us to respect him, esteem him very highly in love. Lord, thank you for your goodness and grace toward us through Jesus. And it is through Jesus that I pray. Amen.